Choreographer Joe Kreider is the artistic director of Flyaway Productions, an aerial dance company that's performed on a chandelier on fire, a suspended umbrella, and a live construction site. Their latest suspended performance tackles the issue of wage security for women in the garment industry. KALW's Jen Sheehan has collaborated with Kreider as a dancer in past projects. They spoke about making dance off the ground.
You describe your work as apparatus-based and off-the-ground dance. Can you explain what that means, especially for a dance layperson?
I like to use the word apparatus-based because my work almost always involves flying objects that where the dancer's not just flying, but there's also some kind of object in flight. And for this particular project, because we're focusing on the garment industry, we have a whole series of flying dresses.
And when you say flying, they're suspended from some point, right?
They're suspended from a single point, so they don't fall to the ground, but they fly, they swing, they spin, as do the dancers.
And what kind of things can dancers do when they're off the ground that they can't do on the ground?
Well, you have a very different sense of time with flight. You leave the ground and you can expand your push against gravity because you're using assistance. In this particular piece, the dancers are harnessed in most of the sections. And then your return is not necessarily to the floor, but rather to a wall. It's a reorientation. Your sense of gravity is no longer vertical. Your sense of gravity is horizontal. But the vertical plane becomes the floor.
And so you can do that with the different objects that you
choose
for your performances.
In this particular project, we're dancing in an alley. So we've got two walls that are only 18 feet from each other. Mm. So the two walls become the object, and the dancers are coming at each other, some suspended on one side of the alley, some suspended on the other. So it's creating a kind of connection and vocabulary that I have never done before. And it's been a little bit scary, a little bit risky, and a little bit dangerous. And I feel like...
In terms of slamming against a wall, possibly?
Slamming against the wall, slamming against each other as the dancers go out into space to catch each other and miss, and slamming back, being kicked in the face. We've been in the Tenderloin for 10 weeks working this stuff out, having people come watch us every day, watch us get better and better. So that's been a really fun part of the project.
And a lot of your work is outdoors, and... by necessity or default, it's free because it's outdoors. Is it important for you to engage people who wouldn't normally go to dance performances, people who are just coming by? Or is it more a factor of just needing the space to do this kind of work?
Well, I think both things are true. I'm really interested in what I call the democratization of public space when it comes to art. I think that one can have incredibly deep perceptions of an artistic process, a creative process, and an artistic output without paying, you know, $90 for a ticket. At the same time, I'm really interested in the architecture that outdoor spaces offer. For example, with this piece, we're dancing on four different buildings. And that's an incredible gift that would have been nearly impossible to recreate in a theater space.
Mm-hmm. To build all of that stuff.
Right, to build these weird angles and weird corners and a particular architecture that lends itself to narrative, if you see it that way.
I'm speaking with choreographer Joe Kreider. Her new piece is called Needles to Thread, Dancing Along These Lines in Continuum Alley. The new piece is about women garment workers and, in a larger sense, wage security for women. You've made pieces about global water scarcity, about homelessness, about the culture of advertising, but always from an explicitly feminist lens. You also only work with female dancers. Can you talk about how being a woman and celebrating women is important in your artistic practice?
Well, I like to say that my work exposes the range and power of female physicality so that we've got a full breadth of physicality from pretty brute strength and daring, and also a vulnerability that I think is really important to claim as, you know, to claim one's full humanity. And we try to cultivate movement vocabularies that really represent that full humanity. At the same time, I feel like we're in, yet again, a really strong moment of anti-female sentiment in this country. So it's really important to me to create space that really affirms the experience of women, and particularly the experience of women who aren't necessarily in the forefront.
And you've also worked on this piece with a female composer, which is also something that you try to do with your work, yeah, to commission new music by new women composers.
Yeah, we've commissioned over 25 evening-length works by women composers. And this project, I'm working with Teresa Wong, who's a new composer to me, and it's been a wildly good experience. She's connected to, you know, a long string of labor history. So we've kind of referenced some traditional labor songs, and Teresa's just been so grounded and also so original.
And so how do you turn some of the research that you've been doing about labor issues into dance work, into aerial dance work? You've said that your company dances at the intersection of social justice and acrobatic spectacle. How do you bring those two things together?
Well, my work starts with the issue, but then I try to find a way in that is physical. And for me, the physicality of the dresses in motion was the way in. So we've created a section where, in my imagination, the dresses created on the factory floors come alive, and they tell a story themselves, you know, of what they want. You know, they kind of want to get out of there. They don't like being in the factory.
What are some of the difficulties that you face making work outside?
Oh, well, this project has been particularly difficult because we've chosen to work in an alley in the Tenderloin that is a block and a half from a sweatshop. It's also bordered on one side by Local 2, which is the union that represents hotel workers and did represent garment workers when there was an industry to represent in San Francisco. But it turns out that alley, it's called Continuum Alley, it's a very difficult place. It's kind of the literally a bit of an open sewer. It's the place people go to shoot up and use the bathroom. So we've been really challenged to not displace anyone, to be respectful of anyone that wanted to come in the alley, but also keep ourselves safe. I've really, you know, gotten a little bit more in touch with sort of the deep heart of the challenges that live in the Tenderloin. But at the same time, from a population of really down and out people, we've had incredible interaction, incredible respect, incredibly insightful comments and appreciation. So it's been a really mixed experience. And that's what keeps me coming back to the street.